So now we'll switch to Talmud Esos Sfirot, and we'll read something to prepare first. We must recognize the completeness of the book, the author, the writer, and what we're studying, namely the actions of the Creator. I am standing right before the inlet to the treasure. I am given a chance to enter something eternal, complete. On the other hand, I must see what I need for that. What I need for that perfection of the soul that the book talks about. Otherwise, I will not awaken or makif. I will want knowledge or some other egoistic fulfillment. The need before the study must be a need for that degree that the book talks about. I must go a little higher with my need. It has to be bonding with Atzilut. That's where I draw the light from. Yes? There's a request from Moscow, because they're learning Talmud Sfirot in Hebrew. They want us to read very slowly, and especially when they go to questions and answers, they don't know how to find the questions and answers because it's in Hebrew. So do it very clearly. Wait a minute, maybe we should... They listen to the Hebrew, they don't listen to the translation. But they're learning with a book in Hebrew? Okay. Well done, Moscow. Oh, yes, they're studying Talmud Esos Sfirot in Hebrew. They all have Taas. Poor guys. Just imagine. How do you look into this book? Good for them. You have to be very strong for that. So we're learning Talmud Esos Sfirot Part 6, Histaklut Pnimit, Item 2.
Amud Tuf Mem Alef, Ot Bet.
So I'll write for them. Tuf Mem Aleph. These are the, that's the Hebrew number in letters. The page number. Oh, they don't know that too. Yes, but we are in item 2 in Histaklut Pnimit of part 6. That's a strange meme. I said, what do you want from me? Alright, now we're trying to give them tips about how to find their way in the Hebrew numerical value of the letters. Rav says they should get used to it. It's a different spirit this way. Okay, so let us remember why we're studying Talmud Esos Sfirot. Part 6, Histaklut Pnimit, Item 2. We've learned that the entire Bchinat Din in reality is packed and sealed in the Masach de Tabo in its first appearance, which is the first Partsuf De'ak. Hence, a strong bitush took place there between the Or Makif and the Or Pnimi. This is because the Or Pnimi that clothed in Akudim of this Partsuf was very small compared to the Or Elyon that remained without, which is all the previous Or that filled the entire reality, called Or Makif, with respect to that Patsuf. Also, the place of the Bitush was in the Masach B'Tabo. Had it not been for that Masach, the O Makif would have entered the Pnimiyut of the reality as before. That generated the Hizdakhut of the Masach and the Histalkut Orot of the Akudim from the first Parzuf De'ak, called Parzuf Galgalta. The Masach, with all the Rishimot that remained of the Esser Sfirot, rose and incorporated in the Zivug of the Malchut, the Rosh of this Parzuf, except the last Bchina, which does not leave a Rishima. The biggest bitush was in Tabor de Galgalta. Why? Because it is bitush between the thought of creation on the part of the Creator of Or Ein Sof, which pressures the Kli to reach perfection. For the Kli to receive it completely, and there is no compromise on the part of the of the light. It wants to permeate the Kli. The Kli is ready. It's not ready. It works in order to bestow, in order to receive. The O doesn't care about that. It is inconsiderate of that. It wants to enter inside it. This talks about O Yashar. That's why it's called Yeshar, direct. He doesn't come to correct the Kalim. It must be inside the Kli, to appear in the Kli in its fullest measure. Just as we said, that afterwards there's another relationship between the host and the guests, personally between them. But here we have only a table with food that one must eat and finish all the way, completely. That's a condition of the host. But the rest, we'll talk about it afterwards. That's the light that pressures Tabor. And that is why the bitush is there. The cancellation of the masach is very strong. And from that come all the other beatings and his purifications in all the other possibilities. We can compare it to a line inside the igul, inside the circle, compared to the entire circle, the collision between them. Continuing from the Masach, with all the Rishimot that remained of the Esos Sfirot, rose and incorporated in the Zivug of the Masach, the Rosh of his Pasuf, except the last Bchina, which does not leave a Rishima. Paragraph, this Zivug. This Zivug occurred there on the Rishimo of the upper Bchina, contained in the Masach, which is the Rishimo de Bchina Gimel, because the Rishimo de Bchina Dalet disappeared, as it is the last Bchina. Hence, the Zivug was made there on Bchina Gimel, eliciting Komat Chokhmah by the power of the ascent of Malchut to the Chotem, since she was incorporated in the Masach de Tabu, consisting only of Bchina Gimel. It explains there that after the Avyut was recognized in the Rishimot de Masach de Tabu, which come from Avyut de Guf, they are found to descend from the Rosh to the Guf instantaneously, meaning to Bchina Gimel of the Guf, called Chazir. From the Chazeh up, it elicits Esos Sfirot de Rosh through a Zivug with the Ovalion up to the Pe of the upper Partsuf. From the Chazeh down, it expands in Esos Sfirot de Rosh Toch Sof of the Guf, ending, I'm sorry, we're forgetting about the intention. Yes. It is so because it cannot expand below Tabu, as it lacks Prinadalet, and under the Tabu, it is the place of Prinadalet. So what we have, these expansions of Akudim are above Tabor, in a place where the Ovalion can appear before Malchut, before the expansion of Malchut, by Malchut rejecting the upper light, and it's in this rejection it finds him. Yes. And the Masach, the Tabu, is what receives Masach of the upper nine, receives the Aviyut, Dalet Gimel, Bet Alef Shorosh, in Patsufim Gregalta Absag, Ma, and Bon Elyon.
Amud Tuf Mem Alef, Ot Gimel, Tur Bet.
Item 3. This Masach de Tabu obstructed, actually, it should say, you find that this Masach de Tabu obstructed the Ol Makif of the first Patsuf De'ak and did not let it expand from Tabu down. Now, by the force of the bitush that the Ol Makif made in it, it has been qualified to extend and close a complete pasuf in Rosh Tochsof. Thus, it is precisely the force of concealment that overturned and became a force of revelation. Moreover, the Masach de Tabu of this second Patsuf De'ak is also purified by the force of the Bitush of Ol Makif on it. Finally, it ascends and mingles in the Zivug Dorosh of that Patsuf, and it too is renewed there with a new Avyut de Prina Bet. This is because here too, the last Prina, namely Prina Gimel, disappeared and did not leave a Rashima. After the Avyut of the Guf in the Masach had been recognized, it descends to the place of Prina Bet de Guf, having the same value as its Chazed Elyon, because Tabu of this Patsuf Ab is Prina Gimel. Since there is no Prina Dalet at all in the second Patsuf De'ak, the Chazeh is considered its Prina Bet. Hence, the new Koma emanated from it descends to the place of its Chazeh and produces Esel Sfirot De Rosh from the Chazeh upward, and Esel Sfirot De Guf with Toch and Sof from the Chazeh downward. This Patsuf is the third Patsuf De'ak, called Sag De'ak. Thus, we find once more that the force of concealment has turned into a force of revelation. This is because the Masach de Tabu, which obstructed the Ol Makif, the Patsuf Ab, and did not let it expand below even a bit, has now been renewed and expanded into a new Patsuf with Rosh Toch Sof. This is a true wonder. How is it that if there is a rejection to the expansion of the O, it prognites, it begets a new expansion of O, itpashtut of O? It's irrational. I resist, I don't want, and by that I get more, and in my favor, yes, for me, and in a way that I didn't dream of it appearing. It's because we have two contradicting forces here: the will to receive and the ability to resist using it. The fact that the creature identifies with the Tzimtzum and prefers to give up everything, it doesn't want the light expanding anymore because it'll be in order to receive. So it relinquishes everything. What does it mean, everything? It doesn't want the addition at the end. Yes, Gargata received all the way through Tabo and says, I don't want more than that. No, no. The Ol Makif that comes says you have to. So she says, no, I do not receive anymore. I'll give up everything. what I have above Tabo. I'll get rid of the light of my life. I'll go back to a state of non-existence. It's a relinquishment of complete denial and rejection of everything, and it is actually done. We have Potsafim Nekudot through Pederosh. We don't understand what it means to stand at Pederosh compared to standing at Tabor. It's life and death. And not at our measure. Yes, what kind of life and death do we have, like little roaches? And there's no difference compared to spirituality. Our life is completely... So it's this relinquishment, and it's not known in advance. It's only after it reaches Pederosh and feels the Zivug Daka, and the Matzil pressures it, then it is willing to do it. It doesn't think about the future. I can, the Matzil pressures me, I can, according to my conditions, according to my Masach and if you do something, I do it. Just like this guy with the cup, yes? Why do you go in there a second time, you know? You know the story, right? You don't. There are two friends. One became a king, yes, the creator. He had a big treasure. And the other became very poor. So the poor came to the rich man, and the rich man told him, yes, I'll give you. Take some vessel and take whatever you want from my treasure. So he goes in there and fills up his kli, his vessel, with gold coins. But the minute he comes out, they drop it on the ground. They just hit the bucket and everything is scattered on the ground. So then he goes inside again. Yes? In our story, it's in order to receive. He goes in, he doesn't have a choice. Will he stay outside? Maybe he'll have another chance. It's the only thing left for him. So he goes in again and he takes again. He doesn't know what will happen then. But he doesn't have a choice, so that's what he does. It's the same with bestowal. After having been completely emptied at Pederosh, and now the Creator pressures him, and he has Masach and Aviyut, so he doesn't have a choice. He can't say, I did it and I came out, nothing came out of it. There's no such thing. It does. Or he does. Otherwise, it's not bestowal. You don't think of the previous situations. I did it. It didn't work out this way, that way. No. So, what I'm trying to say here is that there are contradicting forces here. They bring us concealment. They contradict the will to receive, the will to bestow. And it's the same here, that the emptying Masach by vanishing, by creating the Gvul, the border, by expelling the lights, it is that same Masach becomes a Masach that receives. Yes, it becomes a mating Masach. That Masach de Tabor becomes a Masach de Pederosh. Yes. And we don't understand the difference between these two Masachim. Because Masach de Tabor is Masach of the creature. Masach de Pederosh is the Masach of the Rosh. It's like, it's not the Masach of the Creator, but it's, these are two opposite points. Why must it purify? It receives what it received according to the calculation it made. Now it finds it can receive more. It should calculate again. Why does it have to purify? I don't understand you. It calculated in pederos. Golgotha calculated and saw that it could receive 20%. That is its maximum. If it's less than maximum, it's apostolic. We wouldn't even take this act into consideration. Anything less than maximum, like prayer, like raising man, less than 100% is 0%. So, when it does that, and then what? It is told to receive more. So it can't. It doesn't have any more masachim. So what kind of calculation can it make? He did everything he could in the Rosh. What kind of calculation can he do except giving up the previous calculation? What are my options in that state? So how does it come to feel that the purpose of creation is pressuring him? Because he's got empty kelim that have fulfillment. But under these conditions, when it calculated this way, it cannot fulfill these kelim. How does it fill this off now? It'll be in order to receive. It is against what it did before in order to bestow. It's impossible. He doesn't have to stand there to force himself there. He only feels the bitush there. It's not that he should resist the Yom Kippur and not receive it. He stood before this resistance in the Yom Kippur, in Pederosh, you might say, in power, in Tabor it's harder because there's some reception, some rejection. So you can express it in different ways. But it goes completely against its...
credo?
What's credo? I don't know. Completely against what he is.
Credo is like my way.
Against his way, his destiny. So, no, it doesn't have a choice. It can't do in Tabu. It can't do anything in Tabu except exit. It doesn't exit because it cannot stand the pressure of the Yom Kippur. It can stand there. It stands there at Pederosh. It cannot stand there because it agrees that this way it will not reach the purpose of creation. And not reaching the purpose of creation is called zero in this act. What I did is worthless. Meaning, it extends further bestowal by purifying, because it purifies from a huge thing. That is why purification is not considered a decline or a fall. No. It is not made turned into less than before. If you cannot fulfill yourself at the end of your patsuf, and you have 80% of Omakif opposite you, we're receiving all of it completely, is the purpose, and what you did, you could not do it. Or, in your current state, you have no other choice but to extend it. You have no way of extending it, continuing it, then this whole act is wasted. When it goes back to Pederosh and is incorporated in Zivug Dakah, and the Creator wants him to receive, and he finds a Masach in which he can receive in order to bestow, then the previous act is not a proof that he's not going to do something now. Only we say, we've been to this film, we don't want it anymore. There's no such thing in bestowal. In bestowal, every time I can give, I don't look back or forward. Only on the current state. There is only present in spirituality. Don't tell me the Shemot and everything, there is no such thing. If I can do an act of bestowal now, what the Creator wants, and I can do it, that's it. All the other calculations relate to my will to receive. They will not be toward bestowal. Yes, sir. The desire to continue with greater dvikut, the desire to reach the purpose of creation, isn't it a part of the structure of the patsuf? Because the desire doesn't take place. If the masach stands at the pet, then there's no ratzon, no desires. But we do active a desire for more dvikut. So where is it? First of all, there's no ratzon for dvikut. It's desire for dvikut or desire to bestow. Desire to bestow is the Creator. So we're asking, where in the creature is there a desire to bestow? There isn't. There isn't any. You're talking about corrections of the will to receive. There's no such thing as the will to bestow. You're asking, where in the patsuf that I draw is the will to bestow? When we say will to bestow, it's a will to receive that is corrected by a masach and has an outer form of bestowal. But it's not a will to bestow. How? The attributes of bestowal that the creature adopted like the Creator. But it's a replica. Yes? The original attribute is there. In me, there is only a copy of it. It's only the outer form. So it exists in the upper nine. In the rosh of the pasuf, and then de facto in the toch of the pasuf. Let's say that the pasuf received 20%. Now it goes back to a state of nekuda. But it goes back to a state of nekuda because it had less desire for dvikut. But now instead of nekuda, it's got a more greater desire for dvikut. I'm asking, where is it expressed? In the aviyut of the masach, what do you mean? How many desires does the masach control? This masach is the masach of receiving in order to bestow. Look, the entire malchut din sof is from pe to siyum. To siyum. The whole Malchut Ein Sof. In a part of it, he can use to receive in order to bestow. But from Peh to Siyum, all these desires are desires for bestowal. Meaning what? They are corrected with a Masach that wants to bestow. I want to bestow with all my desires to the host. In some of them, I can give him by receiving from him. And then my bestowal is really called bestowal. De facto. But I'm willing to give him everything. How much everything? Whatever I have. What do you have? 20% of what he wants. That's why these 20% is not a flaw in the creature. That's what is possible that's what its nature enables it. That's why each and every patsuf bestows 100% of where it is. Why is the masach that sustains its insum now greater or more significant or giving than a masach that could receive 20% in receiving in order to bestow. Why is a masach of Ab? Why is a masach at the Pe more giving than the masach at Galgalta? Masach in Tabul de Galgalta received in order to bestow 20%, but in order to bestow. Here it doesn't receive anything. I don't understand. Masach de Tabul de Galgalta is a masach that received 20% in order to bestow. Meaning, it actually gives to the Creator, it fulfills the Creator by 20%. The Creator is empty. His Kli is empty. His Kli is the Kli of Ein Sof. And Masach de Tabor de Galgalta fulfilled that Kli by 20%. As the Creator is hungry, yes. He is the host, but he's hungry, yes. But he can fulfill himself, satiate himself, only by the Creator giving him. The Creator comes and gives 20% of pleasure to the host, to the Creator. That's Tabor de Galgalta, okay? So the Creator says, why don't you want to do it like me? I want to give you 100%. I'm giving you. Yes? The guest says, that's the most I can. You can't do more than that? Fine, but you didn't fill me up with that. What is 20%? So the guest agrees, and in his eyes, this act is cancelled. Zero. It's worthless. That's called exiting. It remains in those 20%. That act remains. But in its evaluation, in what it, how it considers it, that's what it thinks. It's like the requirement of the host. Look at how much I want to give you. So if I compare that to that, then it's as if I didn't do anything. So the fulfillment remains, but the tachton, the lower one, feels that it didn't do anything. And then comes the second act. So you're asking, why does it give more than in the first? In the second one? I'm asking why now that I purify? No, you don't throw the lights outside. No. The fact that the masach purifies, that relates to the future states, not to the past states. Nothing disappears. My act remains in Kedusha, in bestowal, but for me, in my eyes, in my current evaluation, when I am renewed in my consciousness, I purify, I go into a connection, recognition, new connection. I do not regret, if you might say, the previous states. Now I just come to new situations. Yes. Where does it stay? Where is it imprinted? In Ein Sof. It stays in Ein Sof. The fulfillment of Galgalta remains in Ein Sof, 20%, for example. How can something exist and I'm not aware of it if I'm in spirituality? You're not aware of it even though you did it, because now you're with a new desire, with a new masach. That's compared to the previous states, it's like two different radio frequencies. One does not interfere with the other. We do not meet. I acted according to the previous states. I saw that compared to the previous conditions.
It
didn't yield the desired results, so I move on to the next act. We don't understand that
nolad kan ratzon chadash.
A new desire is born here. As we say, Malchut De'Elyon becomes Keter, the Tachton. There's a transition to something new that is felt in a new desire, and the old desire, the old Ratzon, is not felt as something that I was in. Perhaps you're young, but even now you have situations. Look at how you were in the army, how you were before, in these situations, as if it's not you. But sometimes you are reminded of that. Was that really me? It's as if it's not the same life. Because now you feel reality in a new desire. Here appears a new Rishimo from Ein Sof, when Galgalta begets Ab. It is a desire that was not in use before, completely. And according to this new desire, it is a completely different evaluation of everything, himself, the Creator, everything. Yes. But there is still something in common between these two situations. That part that remains in my previous state does not determine what I should do now. It comes to me only as support. How would I want to do now? How will I do it correctly? The Rishimot that I now receive from Ein Sof and from Galgalta, Dalet Gimel, as they operate through Galgalta, as they go through Galgalta. These Rishimot are not. The previous Patsuf doesn't determine what I will think now. The decision is completely my own current decision. But according to the previous states, I decide how to do, how to carry out my current decision. We also operate according to that. We do. All right, let's continue. Oh, you didn't finish the story. The host. When the previous desire is gone and the new desire comes, how is this bestowed? What's the rest of it? The rest of it is when the masach is taken to Pederosh, when it is absorbed in Zivug in Pederosh, it meets the host again, the Matzil. After all the Rishimot and all the operations in the previous state, and it comes to a state where it doesn't want anything anymore, is left with the Tzimtzum only, then it meets the host again, and then receives another awakening from the host. Just like before the first Zivug. How is this bestowal before it comes to the Tzimtzum? Why is the Hizdakut of the Masach bestowal? Because it relinquishes fulfilling Galgalta, Nehida Galgalta. So it gives it up in order to bestow. No, why in order to bestow? If it fulfills Nehid Galgalta, it'll be in order to bestow, receive. It doesn't have a masach.
No.
All right, let's continue. Yes, Ganoposki. Maybe we don't see the independence of the creature in all this. Everything is obligatory. There is the kut and everything. We can't see the independent decision of the creature. Allah says, in the Masach, the independence of the creature is in the Masach. Independence from the will to receive, that's the independence of the creature. The will to receive is in the hands of the Creator. If I control the will to receive, I control the Creator, who through the will to receive controls me. And then I transcend above it and can do other things, and other things are only bestowed. So the Masach is the independence of the creature. Yes, the Masach is the independence, but the Masach is also a result of the Tzimtzum. Or is it an independent decision? Let's say that the Masach is a result, yes, as cause and consequence. It's something that it is compelled to do a Tzimtzum or a Masach. It's also not completely independent. Alright, when we talk about Parsufim and how they come from Ein Sof, of course, everything operates according to the clear law of the encounter between the O and the Kli. There is nothing here that can be interpreted between them as decisions out of doubts, out of desires that are in some sort of search and concealment, because there's no concealment. Everything we can talk about as seemingly human, when we say, look at how he worked, what he did, then they can only be in concealment. If I see my nature with the Masachim, with everything, and the Creator before me, then what kind of calculations can you talk about? It's not a calculation, it's a machine that operates using data that enters it. And we know the end results in the beginning. Of course, here in building the Parsufim from below upward, we speak as if we're talking about people. Yes, it exerts, it tries. It's because we want to learn. It's because we want to learn how to be there. But without that, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a system of worlds. And also, when Adam was created, he was an angel. He was a creation of the Creator. He was in Gagat Ha'anayim and bestowed. And when it declined, it was in complete reception. Afterwards, when the vessels of reception and the vessels of bestowal mixed, and this mixture reached, ripened, when we here in this world begin to feel, we feel these two things, vessels of bestowal and vessels of reception, as one hiding the other. That gives us the choice, that gives us the search, situations where we don't understand, confusion, and then we can say we exert. But if everything were clear in the vessels of reception or vessels of bestowal or both, what kind of efforts or anything, you have life or death, this way, that way, bestowal, reception, Where is you here? You are the one who is in doubt, that out of concealment, out of darkness, you operate yourself above reason, you seek for forces above reason, not so that you will have a reason. Not so you'll have reason. So you can operate as if you are conscious. When we are in darkness, we don't ask for the light. Let me work in darkness.
Yes.
As if I'm in the light. That's called the light of faith. As if you are revealed and I'm revealed and everything is revealed. But I don't want it to be revealed. When it is revealed, I'll be a machine, a robot. That's why he says that one's primary work is during the concealment, double and single. What happens afterwards when you're in spirituality in the upper worlds? When reward and punishment appears, or eternal love, because we use the previous kelim from a double concealment and second concealment, in these degrees we have spaces like vacancies within us where there is concealment. It is the concealment of reward and punishment, and concealment of justification of eternal love, either toward me or toward the rest of the souls. It's not simple to explain the concealment toward what it goes. Yes. All right, so that will not be Talmud Esel Sfirot. We're studying Taz now. Okay.
Talmud
Esel Sfirot, item 4. The matter of the Masach, the Tabu, does not refer solely to the point of Tabu, but to the entire Esel Sfirot in it. Also, the point of Tabu is but the force of Siyum on Keter Chochma and Bina, after which there are two more points. The point of Yesod and the point of Siyum Rabin. The force of Siyum on Zeranpin is at the point of Yesod, and the force of Siyum on the Malchut is at the point of Siyum Raglin. They are all contained in Masach the Tabu, and remember that. This entire place, called From Tabu to Siyum Raglin, is but a single Sfira, the bottom Sfira of the Guf, called Malchut. The first Tzimtzum was on her, and the existence of the Masach, detaining and rejecting the Or Elyon from clothing in her, had been erected in her. Since the Or Elyon contains Esel Sfirot, this Masach in Malchut contains 10 forces of Siyum. For these Esel Sfirot too, the extension of 10 Sfirot of Siyum is called From Tabur Down. Now you can see that the whole issue of the above Bitush of the Or Makif in Or Pnimi, expanding the Gvul of the Masach de Tabur, as has been explained above, all this refers to that place from Tabor down. So here he adds two more siyums, plural for siyum. Siyum the Tzimtzum Aleph is siyum at the Etzbaot Raglaim. And there's a siyum in Yesod. That's the siyum in Tzimtzum Bet Pasa.
Siyum
de Zeranpin.
עד המקום שיכולים להתפשט אור חסדים בהארת חוכמה
to the place where אור חסדים can expand in הארת חוכמה
זרמפין
to that place it is called זרמפין
במקום שלא
יכולים
להיות שם
there cannot be הארת חוכמה but only אור חסדים
שם זה
this is the place of מלכות from פרסה down to סיום
בינתיים
for the time being.
או אפשר לדמיין את החלק הזה.
We can also imagine this part
מטאבור עד הסיום.
From טאבור to סיום.
גם כן לתת ראשונות ומלכות.
We can resemble it, compare it to upper nine and מלכות. The upper nine, meaning where the all can appear, is from טאבור to the פרסה. And מלכות, the מלכות,
מפרסה עד הסיום.
From פרסה to סיום. There, the O cannot appear. But we'll talk about the characteristic of these places afterwards. It doesn't really belong to us right now, to what he explains in Pashtut Akudim. It's when we enter Nekudim. Yes, please.
Amud. Tuf mem bet
item 5
ולפי זה צריכים אומנם
accordingly we should understand what is brought in several places at the place of ma and bon is from tabu of the patuf downward as well as the matter of the five sfirot tanhim of the patuf whose place is from tabu down of every patuf
הרי אין שם רק ספירה אחת לבד, שהיא ספירת המלכות.
According to the above, there is only one ספירה there, ספירת מלכות. Where the mind born, two potufim, one ספירה. What are they, two potufim? Where did this come from?
והעניין הוא,
The thing is that the Rav has already written in several places that there is no מלכות without נהי. As it is written, three flocks of sheep lying there by it. The reason for it has already been explained in part 5. It states that the three sfirot, Hod, Yesod, Malchut, are all but an expansion of Kli Malchut. Thus, in Kli Malchut itself, there are three sfirot, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. It is also known that in B'chinat Achoraim, the Netzach and Hod are considered one sfira, and they are mingled in one another indistinguishably. Hence, all these four sfirot Nehim are considered sfirat Malchut, are only considered sfirat Malchut. Rav said, wait a minute, I'm not sure people understand. We are now talking figuratively. Keter, Chochma, Bina. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet. Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. Keter, Chochma, Bina. We have Keter Chochma Bina, and then Zeranpin, and then Malchut. Who is Zeranpin? From Chesed to Yesod. Many Sfirot inside. So what happens inside it? So, its Chesed is like Keter. Its Gvura is like Chochma. Its Tiferet is like Bina. Nothing new here. It's Netzach. Is Zeranpin itself. Hod is Malchut in it. Yesod is the sum total of all the above. And then comes the general Malchut of all the Sfirot. In Zeranpin, we have Keter Chochma Bina, Zeranpin Malchut inside Zeranpin.
מאיפה מתחיל להיות המלכות?
So where does מלכות begin?
מהוד.
From הוד.
זאת אומרת, כל הספירות האלה...
So all these ספירות, הוד יסוד מלכות, are actually מלכות.
זה כבר חשבון.
That's already a calculation.
אני יכול להסביר את זה באופן אחר, אבל...
I can explain it differently, but I think that's the easiest way.
אחר כך נגיע דרך התכונות...
Afterwards, we'll talk about the inner attributes.
זה המלכות.
So that's מלכות.
עכשיו.
Now.
לפי הכלים.
According to the כלים.
ואם אין אור בנצח...
If there is no אור in נצח, which is the רנפין...
שאומר באחוריים, נגיד.
Yes, he talks about the Achorai, for example. So there's no Or in Netzach. So Netzach, like Hod and like all these Esesirot, is also like Malchut. The Nehim. And only the Kachab remains. There is O, and below it there isn't. Meaning Chagat. That's what he said.
הלאה.
Go on.
אנחנו ב...
Continuing to read from...
עוד ה' שורה שמתחילה במילה המלכות, המלכות בלבד, דבר המתחיל אלא.
I'm not sure where he is.
אלא כשמגיע אליהם האור מבחינת הפנים,
When the all comes to them in the Bchinat Panim, Netzach is split from Hod. Wait a minute. What I drew here. This is this condition when they're all together. That's when there is No O. Chavis writing no O. So Netzach and Hod are like one.
Netzach
and Hod. Wait a minute. Sorry. Netzach and Hod are like one. That's it. When there is no O. But when there is O, Chavis writing in a minute, there is Or. So what do you say?
אלא כשמגיע אליהם האור מבחינת הפנים
But when the O comes to them in מבחינת פנים the נצח splits from Hod and its merits over Hod appears and they are considered as two separate spheres.
אז יש לנו שוב חזרה
So now we return to these spheres when only Hod Yisod Malchut belong to Malchut not Nehim but Him Hod Yisod Malchut.
זאת אומרת, אז Hod Yisod ומלכות.
Hod Yisod Malchut.
רק הם שייכות למלכות.
Only they belong to Malchut.
כן.
ואפילו אז, כיוון שדלת הספירות נתחברו...
Paragraph, however. However, even then, since the four spheres were once connected, they no longer part. Rather, it is considered that Netzach contains the four spheres Nehim from the Bchinat right, and Hod contains the four spheres Nehim from the Bchinat left. So if we had a situation when there was no O, they were all together, yes, the first situation. The second situation is when there is O, and then they are divided. So it turns out that Netzach contains Hod Yisod Malchut, right? So what does that give us? Read it. Repeat it. Netzach and Hod are separated. Where were you, Sharon? Now read it. Paragraph, you can therefore see how there are always four Sfirot Netzach. No, go back a little bit.
Shura lebet Sfirot, ve'afilu az. ואפילו אז, כיוון שדלת הספירות נתחברו פעם,
זה היה במצב הראשון.
That was in their first situation. So, but when the O reaches them from the Bchinat Panim, the Netzach is then separated from Hod, and the merit of Hod becomes apparent, and they are considered two separate Sfirot. Hence, even then, since the four Sfirot were once connected, they no longer part. Rather, it is considered Netzach, that Netzach contains the four Sfirot Nehim from the Bchinat Right, and Hod contains the four Sfirot Nehim from the Bchinat Left. Now, paragraph, you can therefore see how there are always four Sfirot Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut in the Malchut. Thus, you should know that even though the place from Tabur De'ak down is indeed only Sfirot Malchut, still, there are four Sfirot Nehim there. Okay. So we have these situations. Yes.
So
once we did not have O in the Pasuf, and then it appeared. And then again we didn't have it. So because the light, so when the light appears, it operates in the Pasuf, and it divides the term Malchut into right and left. The operation of the O, the light, created in Malchut two lines. Why? Relating to the appearance or disappearance of the light.
Ken.
Yes. Why? It seems that it says that situation number two is theoretical. Iran doesn't understand the division. Why is it like that? Because it says if. I can't follow the question. So the question is, does situation number two really exist, or does it not really exist, and it was only meant to exist?
Well, yeah.
It existed. Otherwise, the O, it is O that leaves an imprint, a reminiscence. That's why you have right and left. Right and left are a result of the operation of the lights. And then there's a difference. When you have no light, you see no difference between Netzach and Hod. Between Zerampin and Malchut. Where it can be fulfilled and where it cannot be fulfilled. Netzach and Hod are below. You might imagine it is, they cannot bring themselves light. But it comes to them from above. When it comes from above, then you can see who it reaches and who it doesn't reach. And then they divide. So when Netzach now, after the O operating, it connects to itself the Nehim, it connects Nehim from the Oot that operated. When they connected with it, and when the Hod connected the Nehim, that's on the from the perspective of the Kelim, the deficits. So there is a Hod, so as to have three lines, right? Rav says, wait, no, no, not yet. I don't know about the three lines. What did he write? I just go along with the text. I don't want to move forward. I don't know what's forward, what's ahead of me. Maybe there's something I don't understand and now I'll understand it differently. So what did he say?
They're
trying to direct. When the oil comes to them in Prinat Panim, it is divided and it's married over the hood appears, and then they're considered two separate spherot. However, even then, since the four spherot were once connected, they no longer part. Rather, it is considered that Netzach contains the four spherot Nehim from the Prinat right, and Hod contains the four spherot Nehim from Prinat left. So? That's the same situation. The third situation. Oh, you're right. Okay, my fault. Let's erase it. For the time being, you're right. Okay, let's erase it. Because he'll talk about it afterwards. These machines. So what do? I have to somehow draw it. So when there's O, so do I erase the second situation? It's something that should have happened but doesn't really happen. So let's erase situation number 2. And we'll have only that in situation number 2. Let's draw it differently afterwards. There is O. We'll draw the third one afterwards. Okay. It's still not Gimel Kavim, three lines. I went a little forward, although I didn't want to. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I have to continue with something else. Alright, so where are we? Okay. We have to we'll have to do this again. Otherwise people will get confused.